It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
So this week I chatted to Green Party co-leader James Shaw and we spoke about the Greens' clean energy plan and how they plan to support businesses to become more eco-friendly. We spoke about the new funding announcement for maternity services in Aotearoa and how to improve the experiences of wahine and their babies through pregnancy and during and after childbirth. The Greens' clean energy plan in the first 100 days of new government will move to ban new industrial coal boilers with the aim to eradicate coal use in New Zealand by 2030. How much of New Zealand's industries and power currently rely on coal?
Well, it's reasonably widespread, although we've got just a handful of very large users. So, for example, Fonterra use coal for milk drying, and because they're such a big company, with units up and down the country, they're our second biggest user of coal for industrial. Sorry, they're our second biggest user of coal overall. The first is the Huntly Power Station, and that will probably go offline of its own accord sometime in the next few years, possibly even sooner as a result of Tiwai closing down. But then you've also got quite a lot of small businesses around the place. For example, there are tomato and aubergine growers who use coal to warm their glass houses. And so actually those are the ones that need the most support because they tend not to be very cash rich businesses.
Hmm. And last Wednesday you announced six new projects that will be supported by the government's Clean Powered Public Service Fund to upgrade key parts of businesses to run on clean energy. Which businesses or institutions have been chosen and why?
Yeah, so this is part of a $200 million fund that we announced in January as part of the $12 billion infrastructure program that the government started to invest in. And this is about making sure that the public service, rather than private industry, stops using coal. And it's quite surprising how much of it does. So there's about 200 schools around the country that still use coal boilers, many of which were installed in the 1950s. We've got hospitals and universities. So what we announced last week was the second tranche of decisions. It includes Canterbury University. They're getting $6.2 million to replace a coal boiler with a biomass boiler at their campus in Ilam. That's very big. They're one of the largest in the country. The New Zealand Defence Force will be getting a replacement to their coal boiler at their Burnham base. AUT will be getting $1.2 million as well to replace their boiler and chillers. There's $1 million for Inland Revenue to cover a portion of the cost for replacing 33 internal combustion engine cars with electric vehicles. Mid-Central District Health Board are replacing a chiller, and the Lakes District Health Board are also replacing a chiller at Taupō Hospital. So you've got a sort of quite a spread around the country. The first tranche included about eight schools, a hospital building upgrade and a boiler replacement.
Hmm. With the projects such as hospitals like Taupō Hospital, do you think that there's any risk that upgrading to renewable energy will somehow weaken how effectively a hospital operates or the services that they can offer?
No, not at all. In fact, I went on a tour of a new building in Christchurch, which has got it's got two massive biomass boilers, which take the place of old coal boilers. And it's kind of space age technology. It really is. You would think that, at one level, it's just kind of burning wood to make steam. But actually, they're incredibly high tech, extremely reliable, and they're all wired up to their manufacturers in Austria, who are able to monitor any fluctuations in performance. And of course, this new technology replaces technology that in many cases, like I said, was installed in the 1950s and 60s. So if anything, it's actually more effective rather than less effective.
Hmm. People often feel disheartened by the fact that even though they feel they're making changes as individuals to mitigate the climate crisis, the bulk of emissions and damage comes from businesses. Do you think this is accurate? And how, in terms of mitigating the crisis in Aotearoa, how important is it that businesses step up their game?
It's absolutely critical. I mean, you're right. Individuals and families can, all make efforts, and I would encourage everybody to make every effort they can. But if we don't collectively come together through things like, our public services and our industries to drive those emissions out of energy and production processes, then, we won't get very far. Mm. So it really is critical. I have to say, things are starting to change. So it's as a result of this work that we're doing with the public service now that we're taking, the announcement that we made last week is the equivalent of 6,000 cars worth of emissions. So that's a good chunk just for that handful of projects I was just telling you about. I know that Synlait, who are another dairy company, competitor Fonterra, installed a electrode boiler rather than a coal or gas boiler, even though at current carbon prices it's not the economic thing to do, but it will be, soon as carbon prices rise. Fonterra themselves are making some pretty big moves. They want to get out of coal as fast as they can. So, I think that what you'll see over the course of the coming few years is quite a big shift in industry, which we haven't had before in Aotearoa.
So let's move now to the funding announcement for maternity services. Maternity service providers, women and their babies, will receive more support after this $242 million maternity package. How do Aotearoa's maternity services currently fare in comparison to other nations and, say, the OECD?
We do sort of reasonably well, not as well, we're kind of middle of the pack, if you like. We don't do as well as some countries that we would aspire to be, like particularly the Scandinavian, Northern European countries. We do better than some others. The announcement last week that Julian Genta put forward was the largest ever funding boost for primary maternity services. So, unfortunately, of course, it was kind of crowded out of the headlines by the shenanigans in the National Party, but it is a really big deal for midwives. The package that we announced last week is primarily going to caring for women who live in rural areas and also those who have high needs pregnancies. So it's it's quite highly targeted to areas where there are some weaknesses in the current system. We're really pleased to be able to get that out the door.
Mm. In early June, a petition was started that gathered 27,000 signatures, and it was demanding more support for women after childbirth in Aotearoa. There's been criticism of the ACC requiring proof that treatment or other external force was to blame for pregnancy and birth-related injuries. Will this funding help address these issues?
Well, the funding, like I said, it goes to supporting women in rural areas and people with complex pregnancies, but it does mean that all eligible midwives also get a $2,500 payment to help cover extra costs from COVID-19. It means that midwives will get now paid for a broader range of services, like providing antenatal home visits, which is one of the things that you're just concerned about, is that sort of post-birth care. Mm. Coordinating care across agencies and so on. So you've got, an expansion of service as a result of that. There are still kind of gaps there, right? We all know that. But this does go some way towards fixing them.
Mm. Does the package have a plan to incorporate kaupapa Māori approaches to maternity care?
This funding itself doesn't specifically, but that is certainly on the government's agenda.
Mm, because Best Start Kauai, I believe, which was a new suite of pregnancy assessment tools, which was also launched last week by Green Minister Julian Genta, which is the new suite of pregnancy assessment tools. What are these tools?
Yes. So that is focused on Māori, but it can also be used by all pregnant women. It aims to address Māori health disparities, which is, it's kind of broadly known that there are sort of significant disparities there. And it's things like, making sure that people are able to pick up any health risks earlier than they otherwise might, connecting the mothers with any support that they might need, like housing assistance, for example, for people who are struggling with that kind of thing, ensuring that there's better communications between the doctors and the midwives over the course of the pregnancy, and so on. So it's really just about, it's what we kind of refer to as wraparound services to make sure that people have got the support that they need.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.